The first reading today, we hear an inspiration on the part of King David. King David, it sounds like he's kind of at a midlife crisis kind of thing. He's this thing where he's all set, the house is there, the wife, the kids, all of these things, and now he's like, I need to do something for the Lord. And so he has this great inspiration. I'm going to build a temple, a home for the Lord. And God knows his heart, but God sends the prophet to him to say to him, no, David, you're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. And the kind of house that God is referring to is not simply four walls with a roof. He's talking about a dynasty. He's talking about lineage, he's talking about descendants, he's talking about a kingdom that will remain upon the earth. But understand, David did not come from a line of kings. God makes it very clear. He said, you were a shepherd. You were the least, the smallest of all of your brothers. And they came and they desired to, when the prophet came to anoint the king of Jesse's sons, and he who's looking at all of his older brothers and, oh, this is a good one, that's a good one. And the Lord's like, nope, nope, nope. Not until David came in from the fields, tending the sheep. God said, I have done everything for you, and you have been faithful to me. And so God makes a promise to David, that someday down in the future, one of David's descendants will be called Son of God. And that one who is in his lineage will live forever. And therefore David's kingdom will be established forever in that son. Is a promise that God makes to David beyond any of David's hopes, beyond any of David's ability or capacity. It is God entering into David's life with a promise that we see fulfilled in the gospel text. It's interesting because Joseph, Mary's betrothed, right? It's more than engagement. Engagement, you're not married, you don't just break off an engagement. Betrothal was a year out from the marriage date. You were betrothed, you were considered married, but you had lived apart for a year and then come together a year later and consummate the marriage. In this time of betrothal, Mary to Joseph, who was of the house of David, the gospel writer makes clear. The invitation that Mary will conceive in her womb a son, and that this child will be of the lineage of his father, David. And that this one will be called the Son of God. For you and for me, it makes a good story. And please let me, before you go too far with what I just said, let me qualify that. Right? It makes a good story for us. It doesn't mean what I'm saying is that it is a fable or, you know, written by someone just to entertain. But for us, the details of the story are entertaining. All of these names and facts and dates and cities and places and all of these different things, it makes a good story. It fills out the picture for us. But for the people of Jesus' time, for the first century Christians, especially those of Jewish descent, this was essential. The details were essential. The details that Joseph, who Mary is betrothed to, is of the line of David. He has to be. He has to be. Why? Because the Messiah is coming through the line of David, because we see it in the prophets. The prophet speaking and foretelling how God will fulfill his promises. He has made promises. He must fulfill them. And so for the Jew to come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Jewish person must see how God, in his promises, is bringing it to fulfillment in Jesus. For us of Gentile descent who aren't first century Jews coming into faith in Jesus Christ, again, it makes a good story. It fills in all these beautiful details, all these images and pictures and kingdoms of old and all of these beautiful things. But for the first century Jewish Christian convert, or the one who believes, and it's even weird to say that, Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of the people of Israel. They didn't convert to become Christian. They believed that the Messiah came and it was the fulfillment of all of their hopes as a Jewish community. But he had to fulfill God's word. And that's why when we look at the scriptures, we see constantly the gospel writers putting in these little details and things to connect us to the promises of old, to connect us to the promises that God made. As I said at the beginning of Mass, the song, O Come, Emmanuel, 7 different utterances or titles of Jesus that are fulfilled in him. 7 promises of old of the prophets, of things that were foretold, that we see connected in Jesus. Why did the gospel writers write about where Jesus was born? Why was it supposed to be Bethlehem? Why did it have to be Bethlehem? The details are important because it's the fulfillment of God's word, the fulfillment of his promises. So we might say that the gospel writers needed to make sure that the connections were made. It is better to say, though, that the gospel writers needed to make sure that the connections were proclaimed. You see the difference? One could imagine that the gospel writers were just trying to draw and make all the connections and make Jesus the Christ by all of these connections. But the reality is the telling of the story, the telling of the story and filling out the details proclaimed that Jesus fulfilled all of the promises to come of who the Messiah was. It's a huge difference. That in God's plan and his story for Jesus, that he would fulfill. And why is this so important? Because we must know that God is faithful to his word. Of all of the things, that the bottom line of this whole homily today is God is faithful to his word. What he speaks, what he says, he will do. He will bring about. It's the most important thing of all of this. The response of David to the affirmation of what God is going to do, did that moment change David's life, his trajectory from that moment for the rest of his life? Sure. Because he no longer, the worldly cares of establishment of his kingdom and his heirs and the who's to come and what everything is supposed to be, it was all in God's hand. God said to him, I will make your kingdom forever. And so David could simply be David, King David. He could be simply that. He didn't have to worry about himself. Didn't have to draw all the attention back to himself to figure out what he was going to do and how he was going to establish his name and how he was going to be great and all. God said, I got it. I got you, David. The invitation in the gospel text, the conversation between Gabriel and Mother Mary, we see this conversation, we see the promise, the fulfillment of the house of David. These are the words that connect the first reading in the gospel text together. God is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. So for us, my brothers and sisters, we need to know that God is faithful. Why? Because he has made promises to us. Has he not? He has made promises to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Will he be faithful this time? Or was that just for the old? Now somehow in the New Testament he's no longer going to be faithful? It's absurd, isn't it? That God would speak, and he would speak promises of love and faithfulness and mercy and compassion, and then decide, now I will not be faithful to my word, to my people. It's absurd. The invitation for us to know and to recognize God's faithfulness, to know and recognize that he is faithful to his promises. And so what has God promised us? This is very important because sometimes we get it confused in our head. What has God promised us? I don't think he's ever promised anyone that they would win the lottery, did he? Do you see it in Scripture anywhere? Did in the Gospel? Which Gospel is it? Oh, the Gospel of Cha-Ching, right? You know? No. He has never promised you to win the lottery. In fact, the passage that comes to mind, there are many passages in which he speaks to his disciples. The passage that strikingly comes to me as I'm thinking about this is the one where he says, you're going to be like a house that's built on rock. When the storms come and the winds blow and the rains fall and the floodwaters come, it will not be destroyed. He doesn't say there will be no winds. He doesn't say there will be no storms. He doesn't say that there will be no rains. He doesn't say there will be no floods. He says when they come, for both the one whose house is built on him and the one that is not, the same situations of life come. But the house built on him will not be destroyed. We have to be careful when we listen to Jesus and his promises to us, what he's saying and what he's not saying, lest we impose upon Jesus things he never said out of a hopefulness for our part. And so my encouragement, we enter into this new year, right? We've got to switch gears really fast after Mass today. We're going to go into Christmas, all of this stuff. And so I'm just kind of laying an egg? No, just planted a seed out there in the hopes for like this coming year. And brothers and sisters, as we go into the Scriptures this year, as we listen to them, as you read them before coming to church, so this is not the first time you're hearing them. Hint, hint, encouragement, encouragement. As you spend time with the Scriptures, as you read through the Gospel of Luke, as we continue through this B cycle of readings, Matthew, Mark, it's Mark this year, not Luke. As we go through them and you become familiar with them, listen for his promises. Because in the situations of life, the everyday, the rains, the storms, the floods, the winds, all of the things, we can get so discouraged because we imagine that the promises are to be fulfilled there. We need to be attentive to what Jesus promises. One, to know what he promises, and two, so that we can hold it to ourselves and live in that promise. Mary's response to the angel in the gospel today is because she makes a statement of belief, not in the coherence of what is being presented to her, not in the rationality of what is being presented to her, but it was what is proposed to her, and her belief in her yes is because she believes in the one who has revealed it. She believes in God who is faithful and true. He is the God of Israel. He is the God who is faithful. And so she's able to say yes, and then for live in the joy of his faithfulness to her. As believers in Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, we need a little bit more of that joy in our lives. The faith that we are given, the faith that we receive, the faith that we believe, the faith in which we act in, sets us free and is intended for us to live in a more joyful life, not dependent and contingent upon the weather today, of whether or not I will be joyful in the mystery of God's redemption in my life. Our faith is so much stronger than that, my brothers and sisters. It is intended to be. You are to be stronger than that in Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is faithful to His promises. Amen.